Your time is up.
Keep sending the history of our town. You can fight.
You're not paying attention.
You're not paying attention.
Okay.
They are. Breaking news out of Bethel right now. Thank you for...
Brookfield High School.
Welcome.
Miles of Newtown, Connecticut.
To the 107.
Why are you... Whoa!
Things went off the rails at a Board of Ed meeting in Glastonbury in December of 2021.
But we start with that breaking news first at 10 o'clock. Violence breaking out inside of a Board of Education meeting in Glastonbury tonight. Thanks for joining us at 10. I'm Ben Goldman. And
someone who was upset by a consideration to change the school's team mascot screamed at the board during a meeting and then punched a board member in the face. I mean, imagine being mad enough that your kid's school is going to change their mascot, that you're willing to throw haymakers at a volunteer in public. Of course, the whole thing was caught on cell phone video, and you can YouTube it if you want, but do yourself a favor and don't get involved. It's gross. You're listening to The 107. My name is Aaron Zimmer, and I'm your host and a candidate for state representative for our district. Luckily, in our district, we haven't experienced actual physical violence, but we've had our fair share of chaos. Like a crowd of people upset by the mask mandate during the pandemic in Brookfield who forced a board meeting into recess in 2021.
Good for you. Good for you. Take your mask off. Take your mask off. Take your mask off. Stand up. Take your mask off, people.
Selectman Bob Belden, who was the chair of the BOE at that meeting, had this to say about the experience.
And we will deliberate on issues that we can deliberate on. The one that caught my mind was the number of people that were angry about masking in schools in a world where the governor had decreed that it was required and we had no ability to do anything. And yet we would be yelled at for literally hours on end that we, you know, on what we were doing in their point of view to harm their children, but we had no decision authority. And so, yeah.
So after anti-mask and anti-vax, what was it that came next? Oh, right. Book bans targeting LGBTQ+ themed books. That's right. Last year, Newtown had a book challenge that made statewide headlines for weeks. The challenge was rejected and the book stayed put, but it was really contentious and two board members quit. Brookfield has had three book challenges in 2 years. Each time they've been rejected and the books retained in the library, and each time we've seen more of the public show up in support of the books than not. And let's not forget that this latest book challenge resulted in bomb threats in Brookfield.
Brookfield Public Schools and Brookfield Town Hall are closed today. This after police learned about a bomb threat directed at the schools, the Board of Education, and the homes of some...
I have to wonder, should a resident be allowed to file a book challenge with the Board of Ed in the first place? Last year in Illinois, the governor signed a bill making it the first state in the nation to ban book bans. I mean, it makes sense, right? We pay media professionals to choose library content for our schools. And I get that the anti-vax and book ban crowds aren't necessarily inclined to trust the experts, but I think the rest of us generally are. I'll follow up after I've knocked a few thousand doors for my state representative campaign, but I've got a hunch that on the tops of people's minds is not going to be how to ban a book. We're going to be talking about kitchen table economics, taxes, the cost of healthcare, the cost of college. I find it troublesome that we should all have to spend so much time and energy on an issue like banning books that just not very many of us are interested in doing. So what is it with boards of education and their ability to attract such steady and unrelenting outrage? Well, here's a quote. The path to save the nation is very simple. It's going to go through the school boards. That's a quote from Steve Bannon from a 2020 episode of his podcast, War Room, the one that was banned on YouTube for spreading misinformation, and the one that a Brookings Institute study found was responsible for nearly three quarters of all conspiracy-related content on political podcasts. Yeah, that one. So when we're seeing these sometimes vicious attacks on boards of education everywhere, and maybe seeing their origins, does this start to come into focus for you? To me, I see extremists whose views fall outside of the general consensus but who have learned to be very, very disruptive. Why? Well, because it makes the paper, and because outrage drives clicks on social media. The outcome, as I see it, is a massive amount of wasted time. For all of us who get sucked into the drama, sure, but mostly for our boards of education members who already have a ton of real problems to solve. There's a great piece from November of last year in the Seattle Times entitled, "School Board Elections Could Make or Break Democracy." And there's a great quote. Let me read it. When politics becomes a struggle for power at all costs and schools are disrupted, children lose. Let's be clear. More often than not, these agitators are not parents of children in the schools they disrupt. A recent national poll showed that 76% of parents support the schools their children attend. That's a Gallup poll if you're keeping track. I don't want to gloss over the fact that in Connecticut, Board of Ed members are elected volunteers. The amount of time they spend in meetings and meeting preparation is way more than you know. In fact, I heard one former BOE member say the real commitment is the amount of time they've spent lost in thought on these complex issues outside of the meetings and meeting prep and everything else. And I related to that because I had the same experience during my tenure as a town committee chair. You know, being consumed with my volunteer workload rather than being present at the dinner table or playing Legos or Barbies with my toddler. Serving on boards and commissions are really hard jobs, even without all the negative attention. So is it any wonder why towns have a hard time finding people to run for local government? Some states actually pay their board members. It varies from state to state, ranging from a meager stipend per meeting all the way up to six-figure salary. And look what CABE has to say about it. CABE being the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. On their website, they say, unlike school board members in many other states, Connecticut school board members receive no compensation for their service, receiving only the satisfaction that comes from providing an indispensable public service. I mean, tell us what you really think, CABE. I know. Got to keep our taxes low, Zimmer. And paying BOE members might not be the answer anyway. I mean, maybe it'd ease the sting of providing an indispensable public service in front of an angry mob, but it definitely wouldn't make the mob more pleasant. Maybe the answer is in part for those parents who support the schools to show up and make their voices heard too. If Gallup is right, and there really are more supportive parents than outraged ones, it could really make a difference. People are less inclined to take action when things are good though, right? Be it showing up at a Board of Ed meeting or writing a glowing review of the Ahi Poke Bowl at Marketplace Kitchen in Newtown. It's delicious, by the way. No, people are more likely to get off the couch when they're mad. It's just a thought.